Thomas, good morning.
Good morning.
So to start off with, how effective are fully operational 3D printed guns in comparison to other guns?
To start off, I guess it needs to be said that there's different types of guns, and some of them can be 3D printed and others can't. So, for example, there's zip guns, or what's called, in the US they're called Saturday Night Specials, which are essentially poorly made or amateurish handguns made in backyards. And then on the other side, there's the professional machine guns and other types of firearms. And so which ones can be 3D printed is an open question. And in fact, there's a kind of a global arms race now to fully 3D print a firearm. And certain people have been saying that they've been able to do this. For example, a mechanical engineering student, James Patrick, in 2015 announced that he'd made a fully functional and fully printed firearm from the most simplest type of 3D printing, which is fused deposition modeling, or FDM. So the kind of question is difficult because at the high end, at the professional end, it's actually pretty difficult to make and expensive to make a fully functional, fully 3D printed firearm, though this has been done as well. In 2013, they made they fully 3D printed a metal handgun using a very different process of 3D printing called direct metal laser sintering. And this is a very expensive process, and it really requires industrial facilities to do this. So there's different types of 3D printing going on with different types of firearms, and the key thing here is to really understand what kind of 3D printing we're talking about and what kind of firearms.
Now, 3D printers, they are getting a lot more popular as time goes by. How hard or easy would it be for a criminal to actually get their hands on a 3D printer?
3D printers are very easy to get hold of, particularly at the low end, with the FDM, the fused deposition modeling types of printers. These are available now in stationary suppliers, so your Office Works kind of suppliers and so on. And these have been used in industry for quite a long time now, by architects or industrial designers to make models to test things in plastic. So these kind of printers are very easy to get hold of, but it's only been in the last couple of years where people have started to talk about making firearms on these kind of printers. And this has really been pushed by a group in the US called who made this handgun called the Liberator. They're called Defense Distributed. And the idea was that anyone could download the file for this Liberator and then print on a standard FDM printer a firearm. Now, at the high end, it's very hard to get hold of a 3D printer that can make firearms in metal. And this is a key fact here. So the process I mentioned earlier, DMLS, so direct metal laser sintering, DMLS, that process is actually quite expensive and time-consuming. And so those kind of printers are much more complicated and difficult to get hold of and expensive. So the first metal 3D printed handgun by Solid Concepts, which was a 3D printing company, that the printer that made that cost $500,000 to $1 million US dollars.
So now it's understood, I believe, that the guns recovered in the operation we are speaking about were actually made up of metal and were pretty much fully functioning. Do you think that the 3D printer would have used the metals itself, or would it just be producing test products for the firearms?
Exactly. So that's a great question. So with Operation Oscar Quantum, they haven't released what kind of 3D printer was there on the site in question. I've seen some of the footage of the raid, and there's not really a 3D printer in sight within there, and the facilities are certainly more like a garage for car mechanics rather than an industrial site for 3D printing. So it's unlikely from the information we have that they've got their hands on one of these DMLS or even a selective laser sintering type of 3D printer, which are the very expensive ones. So yeah, at this stage it's hard to say, of course, but it looks like they're using a 3D printer much more for support within a production suite. So they're perhaps making rapid prototypes to test handguns, or they might be making parts which are non-critical in plastic or resin, or they perhaps are making molds, which is another way you can use a 3D printer in production. It's not the most effective way, but it's certainly another way. So what's at the moment, it's looking like this is part of a production suite for gunsmiths, backyard gunsmiths. And this is not a new thing. The 3D printers are involved in this kind of process. And it sits alongside other types of personalized production technologies such as CNC mills now, which are entering the consumer market.
So looking forward to the future a little bit, is it possible that 3D printed weapons will perhaps reduce the importation of firearms and actually allow the production in Australia to fly under the radar?
Yeah, this is that's a great question. And I think the New South Wales government is certainly recognising that the distribution of design files is a potential threat for the public. So they released in 2015 the Firearms and Weapons Prohibition Legislation Amendment Bill, which makes it illegal to actually possess digital blueprints for the manufacture of firearms, not just the printed weapons themselves. And this includes both 3D printers and electronic milling machines. And so this kind of proliferation of decentralized manufacturing technologies is really the key issue here. It's not just 3D printers, it's also, as I mentioned, CNC machines, but also other types of production machines as well. And this kind of decentralization is seen as a boon for industry in many ways, but it's also seen as a threat. And as the technology comes down in cost, there's going to be many questions about what's possible and what's not possible. And in some ways, this kind of debate is fostering, in a way, innovation. You can see people trying to prove that you can do this with the technology, and it's kind of an innovation race, which you see with other types of technologies. So it's not the kind of thing you want to say no or yes to when you say, for example, could you ever 3D print a gun? It's certainly something that's fueling innovation.
Well, Thomas, it's been an absolute pleasure, something to keep our eye on in the future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.